Turn with me this morning to the book of Romans, the 12th chapter. I've been kind of doing a basic kind of Bible doctrine, Baptist doctrine 101. And we, in previous messages, kind of referring back to the book of Acts and where the men who were convicted, as Peter preached, asked the question, what should we do? And so there's some basic things that we need to do. If we're going to please the Lord and if we're going to serve the Lord, and talked about the need for salvation and how that Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins. Our salvation is free. Gives it to us as a gift, and we cannot lose our salvation. And we never again, after we've been saved, have to worry about whether or not we're going to go to hell. We've been delivered from that place by the work of Christ. But in the message in Acts, Peter said, repent and be baptized. And so we talked a little bit about baptism and the importance of baptism. And the necessity of baptism in reference to our service to God. And gave some examples on that. And then preached about the Lord's church. We're baptized into the body of Christ. So unlike John the Baptist, who was baptizing the people of Israel, preparing a people to receive the Lord, his ministry was a little bit different because of the time, because of the need. And Jesus took from those that were baptized by John and established his church on the earth. But now we don't just baptize people and let them wander around in the world on their own with no direction. We baptize people into the body of Christ. We believe that baptism is essential to be a part of the body of Christ. And we read some scriptures about that. But now, how do we then, and when does it happen that we really start our service for God? Well, it starts when we become part of the Lord's church. If we want our works to be accepted by God, we must do it the right way, the biblical way. That means first you need to be saved, you need to be baptized and become a member of the Lord's church. And here in Romans, the 12th chapter, and we're going to first just read verses 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So this is talking about giving ourselves as an offering. And I could go back into the Old Testament and we could look at Israel's history, and we can see how important, how necessary, how essential the temple was to their worship and sacrifice to God. And we could look at instances where Israel forsook the temple. In fact, I'm thinking of an instance where the king, temple was lying in ruins, and they went there and they found the book of the law. It was like lost. There's been many times when Israel got involved in false worship and different things that we could point to that show God really only accepted worship his way. In according to the old covenant, and the temple and the priesthood were essential to them offering an acceptable sacrifice to God. Don't go out in the high places where the idolaters offer their sacrifices. We're not part of them. And today it's true, too. This is something that God's people need to understand. Unless you're serving God in a true church, your work for God is not acknowledged. It's not accepted. It's not acceptable. Jesus didn't die for the church in vain, for no reason. He died so that we could worship him in an acceptable manner. But, of course, as I've said, you must be saved first. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:1, you he hath made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. We've got to be made alive by the Spirit of God. We've got to be saved by God's grace, for by grace you are saved. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God's grace has provided salvation, and we receive that free salvation as we put our faith and trust, total reliance on God through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And then when we come to that place and accept Christ as our Savior, we've been saved. Our text reading in chapter 12 says, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Well, that doesn't mean, you know, kill yourself. It's not a dead sacrifice. It's a living sacrifice. And we should be making the sacrifice to God every day with our time. That's really what it boils down to, isn't it? Our time. We have a certain period of time that we're going to be on this earth in this body. And God wants us to use our bodies as a living sacrifice for him. The works that I do, the places I go, the things that come out of my mouth, all the things that we do in this time, in this body, this should be a sacrifice to God. So, it needs to be the title of my message, Presenting Yourself to God. So, right away, after you're saved, you need to present yourself to God as a living sacrifice. That's what baptism is about. That's what church membership is about. It's about presenting yourself for service. You know, if you want to go, I don't know how accurate this is, but I'll say it, and it seems to make sense. But if you want to go fight in a war for your country, you need to join the armed services, right? You need to get some training. Now, I don't know if there's any rogue people running around out there trying to fight with our country as soldiers, but I'm thinking there's a lot of things that you need if you're going to be prepared to go into battle with an army. God wants us to go through basic training, you know, and get the information and the training we need before we just run out on the battlefield. What kind of army would that be? If we just all just, oh, there's a need, and we all ran out doing our own thing. We'd probably end up shooting our fellow soldiers, and that happens already. As high tech and everything that we are, but and usually it comes in when there's forces from different countries fighting together and they get confused on who is who. But should be no confusion in our service to God. We need to present ourselves to God, join the church, become an active member of that church. Matthew. Well, first let's go to 1 Peter 2:5. You also as living stones. Now, the first part of my message I mentioned, salvation must come first. This is when we're made alive, when we accept Christ as our Savior. And you, as we read in Ephesians, and you he hath made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. Now we got living stones. You have to be saved before you're qualified to be a part of the church, a stone in the building of the church. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house. The church, the assembly, there's many terms that we can use that the Bible uses to talk about the church, kind of showing different aspects of it. But we in here, it's talking of the church as a temple. And it uses this term, a spiritual house, and that's equivalent to a temple. And each of us being a living stone, alive, made alive by the Spirit of God, saved by God's grace, we need to become part of the spiritual house, a church, a local church, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So what does it say? It says we are to be saved and become part of a spiritual house, a church. Because that's where the priesthood is. If I want to offer myself to God, in the Old Testament they had to go to the priests. Well, now as you become part of the spiritual house, you are a priest of God. And you can offer sacrifices to God that God will accept. You see this correlation between what is taught in the Old Testament and the reality of that in the New Testament. The church is the temple of God, and this is where what we need to be a part of so we can offer our sacrifice, even the sacrifice of ourself. Offer that sacrifice to God, and God will accept it. So, living stones are being built up, a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Acceptable. Through Jesus Christ. Because not every sacrifice, not everything that's done in the name of the Lord is acceptable to God. That's very clear. If you just read the scripture, you'll see. When we disobey, or when we reject the word of God, when we turn our backs on it, whether we're part of God's covenant people or not, God is not obliged to accept our sacrifice. You know, when King Saul went out and disobeyed the Lord. The Lord said, I want you to go to war with these people. I want you to kill everything, including their livestock. And he came dragging back a bunch of livestock because he had a better idea than God. His idea was, we'll sacrifice these to God. That'll please God. And God made it very clear, you need to obey. That's what I want. I want you to obey. It's so much better for you just to obey than to sacrifice. Obey my words. It's important for us today. Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, what does that mean? It means that they didn't do it according to the word of God. They weren't serving God according to the word of God. We have the information. The Lord teaches us. We need to be saved. We need to be baptized. We need to become part of the church. Then we need to present ourselves. Because you know what? Before those things happen, we are not sanctified. We're not made holy. And we're not acceptable. It's a sanctifying experience to trust in the Lord and Savior. And when we are saved, there's a washing, there's a cleansing of the blood, right? There's a renewing, there's a making alive. We receive eternal life. It's a sanctifying thing. But baptism also is a sanctifying thing. Baptism is putting us in the body, separating us from the world, so that we take this next step of sanctification. And then once we're in the body of Christ, God can use us to His glory because we are sanctified and ready to do the work of God. And we're being sanctified on a daily basis. We're growing and learning, hopefully, and becoming closer to God in our relationship with Jesus. And as we sin, even on a daily basis, we have the blood to cleanse away our sins and keep us sanctified for God's holy use. There's some things that we need to leave behind. And there are things that we need to add into our lives as we go through life as a member of the Lord's body in order for us to continually be ready to do God's work, sanctified, set apart for holy use. In 2 Timothy, we read, the second chapter, verse 19 says, "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." It's amazing, isn't it, that this simple concept, This concept that seems so simple, so straightforward to me, more and more, at least if you believe what you read and see on Facebook, more and more people have no problem living in sin and then calling themselves a Christian and going to church. Living and doing things that are diametrically opposed to what the Bible teaches, but they have no conscience. And they go to church and call themselves a Christian. The Lord isn't going to be able to use us if we will not repent of our sin and conform and try to be conformed to the image of Christ. Now, we know we're never going to measure up to Christ, but it should be our goal to live like Christ, to look like Christ, that people can see Christ in us, that a reflection of His righteousness would emanate from us as we interact with people in this world. But now there's just no shame, no conviction. That's kind of scary in itself. People don't even get convicted about their sin. The solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You know what? If you're calling yourself a Christian, if you're identifying yourself as a believer, if you claim to be a member of one of the Lord's churches, you should be doing your best to put the sin of your past life, the old nature, away. Put it away. You don't live like that anymore. It's shameful for people to call themselves Christians and then be living in sin and advertising it on the internet. It's mind-boggling. They're deceiving themselves. We must be a sanctified people to be effective as witnesses in this world, to be used by God. We need to be sanctified. And part of our sanctification is by the grace of God learning to put sinful things out of our hearts, out of our minds, and then it will be out of our lives. It goes on to say, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Sanctified, set apart for God's holy use. You know, I had an experience once many, many years ago as I was, I worked in air conditioning and refrigeration, so I did service calls. And that was in Riverside, and it's hot in Riverside. You know, it's not like here where we have, you know, we get hot at 80. It was like 108. Yeah, I'd go on the roof and I'd start working on something and I'd drag out a bunch of tools and lay them on the roof. And before long, I would grab one and I'd be tossing it around. It was so hot. And I remember this one call. I went on this one call and I was working on this air conditioner and I was offered a glass of water. And I said, sure, I'll have a glass of water. So I tilt it up and I'm drinking, and then at the bottom I can see a milk ring. Prepared for the master's good work, right? We need to be sanctified. There are vessels of honor and there are vessels of dishonor. That vessel from which I drank was not prepared for the work. I wonder if God doesn't see these kind of problems in His own people at times. Sanctified, ready, prepared for every good work. Cleansed, cleansing yourself. There are sins of omission and there are sins of commission, and we can just be sitting around on our laurels doing nothing for the Lord except trying to be super holy. And usually the people who are trying to be super holy are just wrapped up in pride and looking down on others who aren't as holy as they. So yes, we do need to abstain from sin, but there's also sins we commit by not doing what we're told to do. We need to be outward looking. We need to be looking for opportunities of service, being used by God, to build each other up, to reach out to those that are lost, to take on responsibilities in the church, to look forward in how God can use you in this body, and doing our best to bring the gospel message of salvation through Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. That's our main commission. And we need to be a type of person, and our life needs to be such that God can use us for that. I've worked in construction. Construction guys can be pretty rough. But I've worked in construction a long time ago. And we did some out-of-town jobs. So that meant we all went out to eat, same restaurant, and no doubt there were several different times where some of the guys would drink. It's funny how people can start getting all religious on you when they're about half drunk. They got opinions. They got convictions. I'm thinking, something's wrong with this picture. And there is something wrong with the picture if we think that we can indulge in sin and be used by God. Name the name of Christ, as it says here in 2 Timothy. So we want to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, it says. Holy. You know what that means? Sanctified. We need to have this offering of our living sacrifice, offering our body as a living sacrifice. It needs to be sanctified for it to be acceptable to God. It can't be defiled. They couldn't bring the sick and the lame. It couldn't be defiled. It needed to be sanctified. In the case of the Old Testament, primarily, God deserved the best, and it also symbolized the coming Savior who was perfect. So there's some important reasons why it had to be perfect, but it had to be set apart and observed and all these things. Today, we need to be a sanctified people, set apart from this world. Act different, live different than this world. So when we name the name of Christ, people will be convicted, because it's not just like the drunk who all of a sudden wants to talk about religion. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. Holy. And part of that holiness, part of that sanctification is on us. It's on us. He wants us to think differently than the way we used to think. And as part of the body of Christ, guess what? We have an unction of the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us into all truth. So we come here, we feast on the Word. The Spirit is guiding us into truth. So we're learning the Word of God so that our minds might be changed. So that we'll think differently. So we'll hate the sin that we used to love. Needs to be changed. Hate the sin we used to love, and love the things that our flesh hates. And I can take this all the way back to salvation. Before I was saved, and I was under conviction to be saved during that period of time, I didn't really enjoy the Word of God. I didn't really enjoy the church service. I'm glad my parents were very diligent, faithful church members. We went to church every service, and Dad was a deacon, and he did a lot of deacon work. Church was not wealthy, didn't have a lot of funds, and they don't have them now, but for years they had pews that were built by my dad in his driveway, somewhere at home, at my mom and dad's home, not my home anymore. They have film of those pews lined up. He was working on them. But I'm thankful that I was blessed with parents that raise me up. So even though I didn't really, I was getting under conviction and I really wasn't enjoying church, I kept going. You know, and I kept being indoctrinated. I had a conversation with my brother one time, we were kids, and something was said about church. And I says, no, we go to church because we want to, because I heard that at church. He said, no, we go to church because we have to. I said, no. He says, well, just try not going. That's not going to fly. So even when I was under conviction and think, oh man. You know, as soon as I was saved, my attitude changed. Wow, this Jesus who was my judge and was going to send me to hell, he's now my Savior. Sweet, sweet Jesus. And I wanted to share him with others. The things that my flesh hated, now I love. Now that doesn't always happen, and all of our sinful desire, all of our sinful attitudes don't just fall off the day we get saved. There's some work to be done, some sanctifying work to be done in our hearts and our minds. That's what Romans in our text tells us. And 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It takes some time. And we have relapses. About the time we think we got something under control, you know, it might flare up again. Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So then it gets down to really allowing God to change you, to prune you, to take you through some trials, to increase your faith, to make you stronger, to make you better, to empower you, to call you, all of the different things that we could say about that. But transforming us into a vessel of honor for the Master's glory. So, presenting yourself to God, a holy sacrifice. We become part of the church where we have the Word and the Spirit to direct the Word in truth, the Spirit to lead us, comfort us. We have fellow church members to exhort us, watch out for us, share in our burdens. God has given us these special gifts in the church. I want to go back to Romans, the 12th chapter again, read verse 3. We're going to read down through this rest of this chapter. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So, don't get on your high horse. Don't think you're better than your other brothers and sisters. Well, I do this and you don't do this, so I'm better than you. There's some things that we all should be doing for sure. but the level at which I am able to function as a servant of the Lord and the level to which another is able to function as a member of the church, it's going to be different. It's going to be individual because we're all individuals with our own individual problems or weaknesses or strengths. And it speaks of this being dealt to each one a measure of faith. And you might have a greater measure than me, but let's not get prideful. I want to make sure that's a real word. Sometimes we make up our own on this spur of the moment. We don't want to get prideful. And I think that's the warning. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. We're members together. You know, I've learned, it doesn't really take you long to learn, that your leg muscles are a lot stronger than your arm muscles because they're just bigger muscles. So as part of the body of Christ, there are going to be different people with different potential. The Lord is the one who knows. The Lord is the one who gives the measure of faith. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Now, even if your muscle is big or your muscle is small, if you stop using it, atrophies. And that's a problem. Let's use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Have some fire in your belly about serving God. That's what it means. Be fervent. It means hot. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality, bless those who persecute you. Hey, the only way we're going to be able to do that is by the renewing of our mind and the work of transformation that God and the Holy Spirit through the Word of God is doing in our lives on an ongoing basis. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do we believe in that principle? We should. We will when our minds are transformed. We understand that evil for evil does not overcome evil. We only overcome evil with good. So many things I could say this morning about how we're supposed to live, things that we're supposed to put out of our lives and things that we should incorporate into our lives as we are changed. But the last point I want to make is that it is our reasonable service. Is it unreasonable for God, who sent His Son from glory? Brother Jim was talking about the Trinity this morning. God the Son existed with God the Father in the eons of time prior to the creation of the earth. He was as much God as God the Father, same glory, same praise. I think if we get a glimpse of heaven, a glimpse of what goes on in heaven, we continually see the angels surrounding God and praising Him. The glory, the power, the splendor of heaven. Jesus, the Son of God, was willing to leave that behind to come here to save you, to save your sinful soul, your sorry person. He came here to save you. Is it unreasonable for God to expect you to be a faithful, consistent church member, to present yourself to God, to be that living sacrifice? Is it too much for Him to ask? No. It's the reasonable thing. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you need to be saved by God's grace. You need to open your heart and surrender to God and let Him save you. Just trust Him and it'll be done. Just believe in His saving grace. Call upon His name in repentance and it will be done. And then you need to present yourself to Him so that He might use you unto His glory. If there's a need this morning, won't you come as we sing?